One more thing. One more thing to do about love. Just one more. That's all. How about that? You good for that? You ready to do that one thing? Okay, all right, okay, all right, okay, okay, okay. That would be the one thing. Be nice to me. Oh. No, not exactly. Let's turn to the book of Luke this morning. Each and every one of us can do one more thing in our life to follow God more closely, to love God and to love others the way God would have us, right? So we're going to find out what that one thing is this morning, aren't you? So as you hear what that one thing is for you, because it may be different for all of us, I pray that you'll do that one thing. How easy is that? Just one thing, one little thing. It's all it's going to take. You ready for it? Ready to do it? Okay. I'm seeing heads nodding. Beautiful. Even on Facebook. Keep nodding. Beautiful. I love it. Awesome, awesome. I'm like. All right, beautiful. All right, let's turn to the book of Luke, and you're going to find out, perhaps for you, what that one thing is. Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 18. Luke 18:18. Once a religious leader asked Jesus the question, "Good teacher, what should I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked him. "Only God is truly good. But as for your question, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not testify falsely. Honor your father and mother." The man replied, "I've obeyed all these commandments since I was a child. I'm in like Flint. I got it made in the shade. I've done all those things. I haven't done any of those things ever." How many commandments did Jesus mention? Well, he only gave him a few, didn't he? Obviously, there are some others perhaps that maybe this man hadn't followed, right? You notice how he left a few out? What is that for? Self-reflection sometimes, isn't it? Some of us could say those, you know, there are 10 commandments, and Jesus gave the 11th commandment, right? Remember? Love your neighbor as yourself. Remember that one? Okay. This man never heard about that one, evidently, nor did he keep it. He kept all the others. He's doing good so far. He's halfway there, isn't he? Perhaps. But there's one more thing. One more thing. "There is still one thing you lack," Jesus said. "Sell all you have and give the money to the poor." Uh-oh. "Is that the one thing I have to do, Pastor?" "And you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." Simple, isn't it? One small thing, right? He's a very rich man. All he has to do to get eternal life, life now that's fulfilling and godly, and something that God would want about loving others, right? Only one thing he had to do: sell everything he owned, all his possessions that literally possessed him, right? He had a lot of riches, didn't he? He had more money than you could count, but he didn't have what he needed. Following Christ. Trusting God instead of trusting his riches, right? How many of us trust God, but as soon as the bank account gets low, it's like, what? I'm not so sure about this God thing. Where do we put our faith and trust? Well, if you look at your bank account, how many checks you write for others, you're going to find out where your trust really lies. Because I think it even says on a dollar bill, or maybe all the bills that you own in your pocket, even the $1,000 bill, it says in we trust as you look at the money. Isn't it interesting how God uses something in a material way for you to read that, and then when you got to give it over to someone else to benefit them, to love them more than yourself, because that's what we've been talking about, right? True agape love is loving others more than yourself, loving others more than your money. Only one thing you have to do. Sell all your possessions. Give it to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. What happened? I'm not getting one amen out of the group. Oh, my God, I'm getting angry faces on Facebook. Sad faces. Now, some of you might think that this is about money. It isn't. It isn't. This is the one thing the man lacked. He didn't love his neighbor as himself. He had all that money, right? All those possessions. And all he had to do to follow Christ was give it away and follow Jesus. And what would happen with him being provided for? He'd have eternal life, but also would God provide for him in the following? Did any of those disciples ever starve? Did any of the disciples ever go without? Right. And if we're disciples of Christ, which we call ourselves, we're followers of Christ, are we not? Is God going to leave us without being cared for? No. Where do we put our faith and trust? In God. Right? So you see what this man had a problem with? He didn't trust God enough to give up everything and follow Christ. He didn't understand that eternal life is believing and trusting in God no matter what. And loving others so much that you care more about them than what you own. The man had a greed problem, didn't he? He wanted it for himself, didn't he? Watch the next verse. One of the worst verses ever to read in the Bible, I think. Seriously. But when the man heard this, he became sad because he was very rich. And he couldn't make the choice. Jesus watched him go. He walked away from Jesus, didn't he? Sad man. All that money, yet he was sad, unfulfilled, empty, wasn't he? Just think if he'd have done something else instead. Just think as the disciples who owned a fishing business, right? Peter, James, John, Andrew, right? All of them, remember them, right? They had a budding fishing business. They were quite wealthy. Their father Zebedee was quite rich, right? And when Jesus called them and said, come follow me, what did they do? They left it all behind. They left their father in the boat. See you, Dad. I'm following Jesus. What have you or what do you need to leave behind that owns you, that you're not willing to give up to follow Jesus, to love the way Jesus is calling us to love? That's your question, because that's one thing, just the one thing. You can have happiness. You can have joy. You can have, oh, man, you can feel so fulfilled and so good about yourself all the time when you give up what God's asking you to give up and follow Christ and just do what he asks you to do. Care for one another. Care for others. That's how you have eternal life. A life that'll never end. See, I look at it this way. Each and every one of us are going to leave a legacy behind, are we not? Or some of us are going to just be forgotten. It all depends on what? How much we contributed to others. How much we gave of ourselves to others. How much we cared about others. How much we sacrificed for others. How much we took our money and used it to benefit others. Or our time or our talents or whatever it is that we sacrifice. When we care about others more than ourselves, we leave a beautiful legacy behind. Why? Because we're planting seeds in people's lives and changing their lives how long? Forever. Bringing someone to Christ to learn what Christ is all about and giving them faith and trust in Jesus to know that if you follow him, he's going to take good care of you. You don't have to worry about a thing. Wouldn't it be nice to not to have to worry? If you truly have trust and faith in God, is there any need to worry? So maybe you ought to leave behind worry today. Maybe some of you, that's the one thing you got to leave behind. Worrying about how am I going to make it? What kind of job am I going to have if I follow Jesus? What am I going to do if he asks me to give up that one thing I don't want to give up? What am I going to do then? giving up judgment or condemnation or whatever it is that we do in our personal lives, lack of forgiveness, you name it. There's only one thing all of you have to give up all the time, isn't there? And it's different for all of us, isn't it? This man was rich. He had to give up one thing, just his possessions. I don't know which is harder, giving up money or giving up your life for someone. Is it the same? Depends on the person, right? Jesus watched him go and then said to his disciples, "How hard it is for rich people to get into the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Why is that? Why is it so hard to take someone who's rich to get into the kingdom of God? What makes it so hard? Because they love their money more than they love other people. Do you know what money could do to help people? A lot, could it not? Your time, your talents, what could you do with that to help others? But some of us that are, you know, it's what's in it for me, Wiffum? What's in it for me? What do I get by giving to others? Only eternal life. Only joy unspeakable. Only a sense of satisfaction when you put your head on the pillow at night and you say, "I did something good for somebody today, other than myself." Isn't that a day that's blessed? Of course it is. Of course it is. Those who heard this said, "Then who in the world can be saved?" Jesus replied, "What is impossible from a human perspective is possible with God. Because what can God do that people can't? Everything. And God can change us, can't he? He can take us from greed to generosity, can't he? When he changes our heart, right?" Peter said, "We have left our homes and followed you." "Yes," replied Jesus, "and I assure you, everyone who has given up house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, for loving others, will be repaid many times over in this life, as well as receiving eternal life in the world to come." You're going to lose something, aren't you? You're going to give up something, aren't you? But what are you going to gain over here? Many things over, many more rewards over, some of which are not money. Don't be thinking that if you God's a slot machine, you put your money into it, and he's going to bing, 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 give you money. That's not what this is saying. But if you give, you receive. And it may not be monetary. Don't you feel good when you give? When you see that you've helped somebody else? Isn't it something about doing that? That you can't put money on it. Can you? Of course not. But Jesus makes a promise here. He says, "Listen, if you'll give to others, whatever it is that you are to give, you will be blessed in the process. And you'll have a blessing now and a blessing when? Later." Who wouldn't want double blessings? Right? Right. See, am I gaining anybody here? Are you ready to give up the one thing? It may be your money, it may not. I don't know what it is for you because we're all different, aren't we? So we all have something where, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm maybe a 90%er. I give God 90% of what I want because he asked for only for 10%. So, you know, I'm giving you 90, God. What did God ask for? Oh, 100%. Why is she sitting here today? What did Jesus give us? More than 100%, right? That's the example. The kingdom of God is not the kingdom of this world. It's different. Will God be upset with you if you only get 50% of yourself? No, he's going to try to help you grow into 100%, all right? But this man walked away sad. He couldn't do the one thing Jesus asked him to do. We don't hear of him again in the scriptures. Did God forgive him for that? Yes. Did the man lose? Yes. What did he end up with? money? Okay. Did he buy his way into heaven after that? Can you? Can you earn your way there? How does it come? By the grace of God only. A free gift. Isn't it good to know you don't have to pay your way into heaven? I'm a little short-changed some days, right? Oh, God, I got 72 cents. Will that get me there? We don't have to earn our way, but we have to follow Christ and be like he is. Follow all the commandments, especially love your neighbor as yourself. So each and every one of us, as we have our faith walk, and as we grow more and more like Christ, because that's the key, right? If you start following Christ, what happens? You watch what he does, correct? And he teaches you about giving to others, caring for others, healing the sick, raising the dead, causing the blind to see, being with the lepers, being with the sinners, raising people from the dead, right? Walking on water, all the miracles, providing food for people all the time, right? He met their physical needs. How? Miraculously. How does God meet our needs? Miraculously. It's a miracle some days that we even get by. But with God, right, because we put our faith and trust in God, we know we have more than enough, don't we? Of course we do, because we have God. We have everything. Things are temporary. The world is temporary. All our possessions are temporary, right? What are the things that last? Relationships with other people. Changed lives because you've been in it. Eternal life, fruit that lasts, giving people hope. Caring for the sick, the hungry, the downtrodden, the brokenhearted, the despairing. Being willing to be used by God, all of yourself, for the benefit of others. That's the kind of love that God is talking about throughout the scriptures. And the example we see in Jesus. And listen, when you start to follow Jesus, guess what has to happen for you? You got to leave some stuff behind, don't you? Your old self is going to be put aside. We saw the demise of Judas, right? Why? Couldn't leave that stuff behind, could he? It cost him everything. But for us followers of Christ that are going to do one thing today, we're going to decide today whatever it is we need to leave behind and follow Christ. I don't want any sad sacks leaving the church today. I don't want anything, you know, because we say to you, hey, listen, you got to leave that old way behind. You got to leave that stuff behind that you're putting in front of God that's more important to you than God. Whatever it is, whoever it is, whatever, however, whatever, you got to leave it behind and care for others more than yourself, even your enemies. I think it's in here somewhere. Jesus spoke this prior to. So this man that followed Jesus originally, like that wanted to ask this question, evidently heard him preach and teach. And back in Luke 14, Jesus gave a parable about the great feast that's going to come. And Jesus says, go into the country lanes and be behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so the house will be full. And he says, when you give... In verse 12, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, or you put on a party, gang, or you're chilling out here at church, don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, or rich neighbors. For they will repay you by inviting you back, right? Huh? Right? Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Because they can't repay you. Then at the resurrection of the godly, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. You see, Jesus preached this before, and evidently this rich man, he couldn't understand that. But we do, don't we? Who's invited to the table at this church? And what are we willing to leave behind for them? Everything. You mean to tell me you're going to sit there with that great big plate of food and you're so hungry, you've been waiting, the service has gone so long. I didn't get any breakfast. And in comes a person you've never seen before. They look a little rough around the edges. And we've run out of food. So what do? You go ask the pastor, hey, pastor, do we have any food in the back? What do? Give them. Not mine, yours. You're understanding. You're understanding. Now, Peter, James, and John and the other disciples left everything to follow Jesus, didn't they? Right? Everything. What is Jesus saying we also must do? What? Our friends, our families, our jobs, our whatevers. I'm going to sell that thing I've been keeping in the closet because I was going to use it someday and I'm supposed to give it to somebody else instead. I don't know. How about maybe on a cold night, you just tuck yourself in, you're ready to go sleepy. And it's 40 degrees outside and you think about a homeless person. Do you leave your warm bed? See, there's an example, right, of something we can leave. Or maybe we're having a church service on a Sunday night, and we've got coffee ready for after the fact, and the teenagers are in the back, and they come and say, hey, we've got some hot coffee. Can we bring it downtown to St. Pete to give that to the homeless? We're conducting church service tonight, kids. What do you think we do? You leave the church service and you go and bring hot coffee to homeless people, right? How do I know we do that? Because we've done that. Or maybe you have air conditioning, electricity, and a warm bath and all the amenities of living in America, and you decide to leave and go be a missionary in the Dominican Republic. At 65 years old. Do we know people that do that? Oh, we know one, right? Hey, Tia Gail. You see what the one thing is for some people? See, the one thing might not be this grand thing like this rich man selling all his possessions. It might just be one small thing that you inconvenience yourself for to go take care of somebody else, however and wherever that is. When God puts it upon you and you are sitting there thinking, oh, man, this is happening. Why does it come into your mind? You know what I'm trying to say? Like, how is it you're going to go night-night and you suddenly it comes to mind of somebody might need a warm blanket? Is that Jesus saying, come follow me? Go take care of my neighbor? See how easy it is? And sometimes we do for others, we get nothing back in return. Do you ever notice that? You know, you might feed someone, give them clothing, spend time with them, talking with them, caring about them, visiting them. And they don't even say as much as thank you. And then what happens to you? You go away happy. Because you did the thing that God told you to do, right? Are you looking for payment back? Are you expecting people to pay you back and give you back what you give to them? Am I here in the whole room? We give to others, expecting nothing in return, except for the reward that God's going to give us. Who would you rather get rewarded from? A person that says thank you and here's some, you know, made you this pie, and you go, thank you, that's delicious. Or God who rewards you. Of course. Whatever you do in secret, behind the scenes, that nobody even sees, it could be a telephone call, it could be an email, it could be making amends with someone, It could be praying for somebody. God rewards that. There's no too little a thing that you could do to benefit somebody else that doesn't get seen by God, where God applauds and says, well done, good and faithful servant. So I don't know what it is for you today, because this man had a greed problem. Most of us in here, I wouldn't say that was our issue, is it? I mean, this is not exactly like the Taj Mahal or anything. But I will tell you this. There's lots of rich things that go out of this church to bless the lives of others. And how does that happen? Through what you all do. That's right. That's right. So none of us today are leaving sad, are we? Nope. You, however, are going to leave the one thing behind that you've put in the place of where God belongs. Whatever it is for you. I don't know. We're all different. But if Jesus were to ask you to give up judgment or criticism or who knows what other things that we all have, right? Or maybe that there are certain neighbors you love and certain ones you don't. Maybe you have certain biases of some kind who deserves to be helped. I don't know what it is for you. All I know is this. Be willing to give up that one thing today. It'll change your life when? Today and forever. Forever. Put your faith and trust in God. If you do that one thing, make God your first choice for everything. Love the God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. All of it, all of it, all of it. And your neighbor as yourself. Just really two things to do, right? You got to do one before you do the other, though. Right? But if you'll do those two things, you will have eternal life and rewards in this life and in the life afterwards. I promise you that. So just reflect the rest of today. If God asks you to do something or someone's in need and you just got your shoes off and you're sat in front of the TV and you're ready to watch, well, I guess football's over, so whatever it is you're watching. XFL. See, we could still, there's always football. Yes. Thank you, God. Oh, I won't, can't live without it. And there it is. And the phone rings. And, can you come up to Newport Richie? I ain't living in Gulfport. I was just, I'll have to call you back. See? Each of us struggle with ourselves, don't we? Don't you wish it was the other way around when someone called and said, hey, I hear you're watching football. Let me bring you some treats. Yeah, I love that person! We just love those people. Like, bring to us. Love is not love without sacrifice. Just isn't. Giving up your way. See, we learned in Bible study, which is it was actually a phenomenal Bible study, I must admit, because it came directly out of the Bible. And we learned that love does not demand its own way. You mean other people matter more than me? Yes. Whose way matters the most? God's way. And is God's way hard? No. Is it fulfilling? Is it rewarding? Do you, at the end of your life, when you look back at it and you say, wow, I made a difference. I mattered to other people. one life breathe easier because I existed. One life, it's all it would take. That's all. For that time when your life ends, to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And maybe it's thousands of lives, I don't know. But one life is enough, is it not? And which one life would you want it to be? Whoever God puts in front of us. Has God done something for you in your life? Don't you think we ought to repay God if we're going to repay someone? And you know how God wants repayment? To love others. Isn't that just like God? So think right now. What's the one thing that Jesus would ask you to leave behind? What part of yourself are you holding back and not fully walking into the kingdom of God and sacrificing? It's just one thing. And when you give that one thing up, you'll be blessed beyond measure. So give it up first, because you can't take it along with you on your journey with Christ. You can't have faith in money and faith in God too. They don't mix. They just don't. You can't have faith in yourself and only yourself and care only about yourself and have faith in God too. Do you see? So how many of you today are willing right now to leave that one thing behind? Let's see the hands, Facebook. Will it be easy? Let me ask you this question. You ever pull off a Band-Aid? What do they say to do about it? Do it quick. So listen, quick. Ask God to take it from you. Rip it out of your life. It'll only hurt temporarily. The numbness will go away. The wound will heal. So let's try that one again. Are you willing right now to give up that one thing? Do you know what that one thing is for you? You willing to give it up right now? Will it be easy? This is going to take some more time. I was going to an amen, I promise you. That reminds me of the story when they said, where's the bread? Who left the bread behind? Who's the one person that won't follow along here? Do what the pastor's asking. Oh. If you'd like to meet individually with me, I'll be happy to tell you what your one thing is. Maybe the one thing is believing things are hard. With God, all things are. So how about you ask God, God, take from me the thing that you know is interfering with me being a loving person and being like you. Take it from me, God. And whoosh, there he did it. Was it easy? Yes! Yes! Amen.